going to be talking about the incarnation and our union with Christ this morning. So God obviously loves the thought of union and unity. And you see that all over. I brought my phone, not because I'm expecting a call. Hold on a minute. But in case I need to look up a verse. This is my Bible. I'm forgetting where books are in the Bible now, you know, because I don't have to remember anymore. God obviously loves union. He exists as three in one, the Trinity. See, God loves union. You see it everywhere. When you begin to see it in Scripture, then you see it everywhere. You see it in creation, where God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit existed in union, in bliss, in complete joy, satisfaction, not needing anything, and yet wanting to share themselves, wanting to share himself with a creation. He made man in his own image. And in the image of God, he made them male and female. God did that because he loves union, and he made a creation with which to be one. He also did that in the incarnation. Now, I know it's not Christmas, but let's talk about the incarnation. How many of you in your counseling talk about the incarnation? Don't raise your hand because I don't want to get discouraged. So, I mean, it's one of the very most important, if not the most important thing God has ever done for us. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. We're going to talk more about that this morning. The incarnation. God loves union. That's obvious in marriage. He created a social structure whereby two people become one, because he loves union. He gives us union with him. In Christ, we have union with him. In the body of Christ, we are all one, right? Many members, we are one. See, God loves this idea of unity and union. And then, of course, he glorifies us to bring us and will bring us to himself in glory. So, we are created in the image of God, and God loves union. God loves relationship. But because of sin, we find ourselves in isolation, right? I mean, nobody really understands you. Nobody really knows you. Nobody's really as good of a friend to you as you wish they were. And we've been created in the image of God, so we hate isolation. How many of you have been counseling someone who said to you that the reason that they were sinning was because they were just so lonely? They really wanted somebody, anybody. I think maybe that's something women do more of than guys do, but I know I've heard that any number of times. I was counseling a woman one time who was, I want to say she was turning 40. She was a single woman. I'm not picking on single people today. But she was a single woman and she wanted to be married. And so as we were talking, it came out that she was having an affair with a married man. I said, "What are you doing? What? You know, you have one of those kinds of situations in your counseling room when they say something and then you go, "What?" And as we talked, she basically said, "Well, I've kept myself pure all these years and wouldn't ever even date a non-Christian because I expected God to bring me a husband, and God hasn't brought me a husband, so now I'm going to do what I want to do." Okay? There's so much wrong with that statement. You know, I don't even know where to start, except just to say, let's just use it as an example, just to say, we hate isolation, which is why when Tom Hanks is on the island in Castaway, he gets a friend, What's his friend's name? Wilson. Yeah, right. Okay? His volleyball friend, Wilson. He's got to have somebody to talk to, doesn't he? He's got to have someone, something to share his life with. See, that's the image of God in all of us. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's fallen now. Our desires for it are fallen. So sin has brought about wrath and isolation. Much of our sin flows out of a sense of isolation and a desire to be in loving relationships. A lot of sin flows out of that. But God has taken significant steps to bring us into relationship with himself. I want to just give you good news this morning about what Christ has done, what God has done to answer your desire for relationship, to help you as you struggle with isolation. What is John 1:14, 16 and 18? This is the incarnation. And you know, we're so familiar with these verses, it's a really good thing to come back and keep looking at them. The Word, that of course created everything, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're going to get more to that. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. What have you received from his fullness? Grace upon, you can say it. Yes, grace upon grace. What have you received from his fullness? Grace upon grace. See, that's what that incarnation brings to you. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. So Jesus Christ entered into complete solidarity with us in our sinful existence in order to save us without becoming a sinner himself. Again, I don't think we think enough about this. When we are in isolation, when we are facing trial, suffering, difficulty, I just wonder how many times our counselees, even think about the fact that everything we're facing, Christ has already faced for us and with us. Everything we go through, Christ as our representative has already faced. No one has seen God. No one has ever seen God, but we see God in Christ. And he entered into complete solidarity with us. Colossians 2:9, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. The incarnation is, as Martin Chemnitz said, the sweetest and the greatest and sweetest consolation we can know. How many times do you talk about the incarnation with your counselees? Jesus was a man, a human being, and he understands everything about isolation. He understands everything. You think he wasn't isolated? I mean, we'll get to the cross momentarily, but he understands everything about isolation and struggle, temptation. We are also in union with Christ, and in this union with Christ, we are both in Christ and with Christ. And it's a good thing to go through your New Testament, particularly the Pauline epistles, and look at all the times Paul uses that phrase, in Christ or with Christ. See, it's important, but you know, when we read it, it's very easy for us just to gloss over that, isn't it? Just in Christ. So I'm not even sure what that means, in Christ. So, okay, I'll just go on and get to something I understand. We need to really plumb the depths of what union with Christ is. Listen to this passage from Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. By the way, that little, we should be holy and blameless before him, that's not an imperative, it's an indicative.